is a subdivision and rezoning at 1778 and 1790 McGillivray Boulevard under file DASZ 38 of 2009. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item 9, a variance at 1778 and 1790 McGillivray Boulevard under file DAV 166697 of 2009D. These are the people in support, including the applicant.
Okay. The applicant, the first one?
Yeah.
Veronica Hicks?
Yes.
Proceed.
Good evening, councillors. Sustainable development, mixed use, walkability, efficient use of services, complete communities, aging in place. These are the trends in urban planning and public policy, and we're pleased to be involved in a project that's reaching towards these goals. The city's newest zoning bylaw has anticipated these kinds of developments with the new mixed-use categories, and the R. Winnipeg call to action clearly identifies these goals. And this project is consistent with that policy direction and is the implementation towards the desire to create a more sustainable urban form. Before we get into the details and the site specifics of the project, I'd like to provide some background information and touch on some of the broader land use aspects of the proposal, and the architect will be following to speak about the site details. We've provided an information package for you to follow along with, and so I'll be starting with the first drawing that's in the package. As you know, the site's located on McGillivray Boulevard at the edge of the single-family portion of the Linden Ridge neighborhood, with the commercial and industrial uses that front on the onto Waverly, located to the east. This is a common arrangement of land uses where multifamily sites are located near major thoroughfares and act as a transition between the single family and the commercial areas. In the immediate area, there are several such developments, including 3- and 4-story condominiums and 2-story townhomes. We've also provided a zoning map in the package on the second page, and it identifies the other multifamily sites in the area, and they're indicated in brown. This trend towards establishing mixed-use neighborhoods allows for a walkable environment where residents don't have to drive a kilometer to access daily services, and also provides a range of housing options in a single neighborhood. This trend towards multifamily and mixed-use development is becoming more prevalent as their demographics are beginning to shift, and as the demand for condos from the baby boom generation begins to shift the traditional portion of multifamily compared to single-family housing upward. In preparation for the hearing, the developer chose to provide opportunities for the public to provide input that go beyond this hearing process. An open house was held in January, and we advised the adjacent property owners of the plans and received feedback. 70 invitations were mailed out to that event, and a copy of the mail list and a map is included in your package as well. Approximately 20 households attended the event and filled out comment sheets, and we subsequently received approximately 50 additional comment sheets, and we can submit those into the public record this evening as well. There were a variety of concerns, and based on the comments, revisions were made to the plans in cooperation with the city's area planner and with the urban designer. A second open house was held again last week to present the revisions to the plan and provide an opportunity for people to review and comment on the plans that would be part of the hearing this evening. Over 80 people attended that event. Before I begin to talk about some of the specific comments, I'd just like to provide an opportunity to answer any questions, if there are any, about the policy framework or the planning principles that we're working with on this project. As mentioned, there were a range of concerns that were raised, and we're going to be addressing each one. But before the architect speaks to the details of the design and some of the building-related comments, I just want to address some of the more philosophical concerns that there are about the project and also clarify any misinformation that may be out there. First and foremost, this is not a low-cost or low-rental housing development. There's a significant fear that the proposed development will attract transients or undesirable tenants to the area and will generate crime, noise, and garbage to the area. Indeed, it will be the opposite. The proposed site will include mixed-use condominiums with local commercial services and townhomes that offer a quality new home experience. We expect that as residents of the Linden Woods, Linden Ridge, and White Ridge neighborhoods look towards a maintenance-free condo lifestyle, that they would have the opportunity to move within their neighborhood. From a property value perspective, the development is going to be quite comparable with the adjacent properties. In fact, on a square footage basis, this development will actually be at the high end of the scale at roughly $250 a square foot. The information package that I've provided you also includes a map that identifies the adjacent property values on a square footage basis, ranging from about $188 a square foot to $260 a square foot at the high end. So given this, the quality and the value of the proposed development will be equal to or higher than the adjacent homes. The second larger consideration relates to traffic generation. The proposed site has three accesses. There's a right-in, right-out on McGilvery. There's access to an all-turns intersection via the service road that connects to the north of the MTS building, and also a local street connection onto Falcon Ridge. The connection onto Falcon Ridge is required for emergency services, and these three accesses have also been accepted by Public Works. Based on the traffic analysis, the number of vehicles on Falcon Ridge is expected to be minimal since there are two other options. Less than 10 vehicles in the peak hour are expected to be generated on Falcon Ridge as part of this development. As well, the post-development forecast for this street will also be well below the standard for a local street, which is 1,000 vehicles per day. The post-development forecast is just over 800 vehicles per day. If the site were developed as a single-family development, the volumes on Falcon Ridge would actually be greater than they are with this proposed development, because access to McGilvery wouldn't be provided for if it were a single-family development. So just to be clear on that point, even though this is a higher-density development, it will actually generate less traffic onto the local street network than if it were a single-family development. The next drawing in the package shows the proposed development in context with the adjacent neighborhood and shows the street connections. While the development does have a higher density than the adjacent area, the developer's chosen an appropriate scale and massing, which has been further reduced based on comments from the neighbors and the area planner. The developer's also gone further to ensure a high-quality development by hiring an architect to design a sensitive and site-specific development, rather than relying on plans chosen from a catalog and trying to make them fit the site. So at this point, I'd like to let the architect speak to some of the site specifics and address some of the items that were changed as a result of the public input, and then we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Hello, my name is Steve Kohlmeyer. We were acting as architects for the project. Is that okay for microphone position? It's been an interesting project for us. One of the things that we've been very pleased with working with Inlet Development, who's really led, as much as we have, a goal to make a village-like communal kind of environment as opposed to a more standard kind of apartment and townhouse environment, which we find in a lot of suburban areas in Winnipeg. And a lot of the kind of the village as an idea has been very important to us. We think that it's an important model to expand on, and we've done a number of things which build on that. One of the main ones is to develop this as an accessible neighborhood, as in accessible to the surrounding neighborhood, as opposed to isolated with fences and, you know, box after box after box of separate environments. We think that was hinted at and left as a kind of a thing to work with because of the road at the south was actually built up to this property. We've often on McGilvray and commercial streets like McGilvray, commercial areas face out toward this busy street and make shopping centers with housing behind. As part of the village goals for the project, we have been trying to develop a village square which faces more inward and becomes a community benefit to this development and, we hope and we think, to the surrounding development. We are designing this as a mixed-use project, as is set out in the zoning, as the zoning regulation and priorities established by the City of Winnipeg. Local, small-scale commercial will, we hope, be a service-providing and enriching service for the local community. At great expense to the project, we are developing all housing. We'll have parking for... Parking for all of the housing demand will be provided as enclosed parking. There will be separate garages for the townhouses, and all of the condominiums in the larger buildings will be, the parking will be provided in below grade enclosed parking. This is a good service, but it has a huge benefit on the aesthetic quality of the environment. For those of you who know standard three-story walk-up apartments in the city, or even elevated apartments, know that they're often surrounded by a lot of surface parking, and it became a sort of an ocean of parking lots with buildings in the middle, as opposed to a more village-like, intricate environment for people to live in. We've also proposed and want to build a small park. You see the plans with you, but I'll point to it here, but there's a park here, it's called a public plaza. We want this to be open as a public place. The developer has committed to developing this and promising a long-term and forever accessibility to this park for all of the surrounding neighbors. So this becomes a kind of a small plaza park within the network of the surrounding neighbors. We've met, as Veronica had mentioned, twice with the in a public open house. We've met with councillors twice on the project separately, prior to starting the entire process, Doug Russell, the head of Inlet Properties, will speak a little more about that history. And so we have really felt that we have been involved in a very kind of two-way dialogue as the project has developed. My first meeting on the project was the then former planner for the area. We had some discussions there and made adjustments there. And then with Michael Robinson, we've had several meetings on the project, and so we think it's been a good dialogue process. We've made a number of changes in response to these rounds of encounter and discussion. One is, and I'll go through the list, but the setbacks between property lines and building either conform to or exceed by a large amount, the requirements of the RMU zoning for which we are applying. Those setbacks have actually been increased in a number of places, at the south side, at the west side, on the south part here, the commercial building. You can see in this area we've increased, the zoning would require 5 feet, we're 20 feet away. So we've increased the amount of setback from what we would be required and even from what our original requirements, which were already beyond the formal requirements. We've doubled the amount of tree and landscape buffer around the building where it faces residential areas compared to what was already a generous provision around all of the perimeter of the project where it faces onto commercial or to residential development. Another significant change in the design was the south side of the two larger buildings, which is originally three stories, has been reduced to two-story development, this area here and this area here. Where in order to accommodate some of the concerns that were expressed by the neighbors of looming, although three stories is not as high as RMU contemplates, to reduce the impact of another scale building overlooking the neighboring residential areas. I'd like to point out that the height of our building is lower by quite a bit, I'll show you, than that which is permitted for single-family housing. Oh, I've already, excuse me, I forget where I put all my boards. This is a little diagrammatic, but I think it's important to see. This is a diagram. You have it in a smaller form as well. This is the height of a building which is permitted by zoning for a residential development against a rear yard. It can be 35 feet high and 25 feet back from a property line. And it can have balconies on all three floors that would come out of that height. This may surprise you a bit, but this, in fact, is what's permitted in zoning for single-family residence. In what we, if we were to have that design on two sides of a backyard, which is permissible for all single-family housing development in Winnipeg, we would have these two boxes facing each other, so without anybody asking for any special permission. What we are proposing is what you see is the dashed black line, which is actually 5 feet further back than would be required for single-family housing. And we are proposing balconies within that setback. So there's the balconies actually further back than by 5 feet than they would normally be required to be. So we think we've done two things. We pushed the building back further. We've made the volume of the building less than it would be for single-family housing, as it would be allowed to be for single-family housing. And we would like to, we're requesting that the condition in the planner's report to be overruled by you, because we think this is compatible to the scale of the environment. The red line is the line that would where we would have to put balconies if we were to conform to the planner's recommendation, for a total feet a distance of 80 feet from building face to building face. I think this was done as an extreme measure to make sure we didn't put the balconies there, but we are arguing to you that we think that what we have done is very compatible in relation to scale and to presence and very comparable to single-family housing environment. Another issue which was raised in the public open house is the issue of access to the neighboring streets. And we think it's very important. We have done this quite intentionally because we think it conforms to the goals that have been established by the city for development in suburban areas to make a more integrated and more varied and active environment for people to walk and stroll just the way they did in the older parts of the city. So we have two places where we're proposing that opening. One of them is at the northwest section here by our park, which we welcome the public to come into and welcome the public to participate and be part of the network of the public domain. And the other one is at the south end, and Veronica mentioned that we do require this as an exit or access for emergency vehicles. That's just a requirement. And we certainly think it's important for people to move easily and comfortably throughout this neighborhood because we think this is an integral part of itself and of the surrounding neighborhood. So we urge you as well to accept those two linkages because we think they fit perfectly within the kinds of goals that the city itself has been talking about for the last few years and is formalized with the recent new zoning bylaw. Thank you.
Doug Russell.
Hi, I'm Doug Russell. I'm within the property. So I just thought it would be important to go through a little bit of the aspect of some of the history of the property and then how we came up with this vision for the land. When we initially purchased the property, it was a 3.5-acre site. It was zoned agricultural as it is now. Linden Ridge didn't exist on a sketch. And we had several discussions with Linden Ridge, and so we were trying to work in conjunction, and we did work in conjunction with them. Purchased the property. There was basically an old house on it that was being rented out, and a shop, a garage type of thing. We cleaned up the property, and we started looking at ways that we could develop it. We are basically a commercial industrial type of company. And a property development company. We're locally owned, locally based in Manitoba, not large. And so we looked at some of the uses. So some of those early uses were the properties that were discussions with the city of what could be required as far as zoning, as far as what permitted uses were. Such those were like M2 and a few other categories like that. So some of the aspects we looked at were we had quite a few renditions of some plans of some warehouse space, some industrials type space, and some other uses. So we went through some areas of that, and we were continuing with that, and then MTS came along, and they wanted to put up a large building and a large lot next door to us. We really didn't seem to have any problems with that. We had some brief discussions with the city. That did go ahead. During that process, the city approached us and said that they were looking at maybe wanting a type of buffer zone or a type of, not so much more industrial, but more a mixed-use type of a use for the property. So we kind of thought, well, okay, we could consider that. And so we started looking at different avenues and different approaches for the property, and continued some discussions with the zone planners, and at that time had a bit of an idea of this mixed-use property, which could be office, commercial, and residential. So we brought in Colmar Architecture, and we started discussing the idea with them, and as it developed, we've gone through several renditions of what could be a good plan for the area that looked at the area, looked at integrating it into the neighborhood, making sure that it was always a nice quality development that was going to be a plus to the neighborhood, but yet provided a buffer to some of the industrial zones, industrial areas around there, and then so we did that. So we came up with this concept, which we feel we worked closely with the city in a lot of aspects and came up with an approach that seemed to work well with them in our discussions with the city, the zoning that is being approached here is something that the city's bylaws have gone to and changed, and it looked like they're being a positive approach with some other developments. So I just thought we'd approach that out. So I'd just like to say that. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Is there anyone else who's here for support whose name has not been called? We can proceed with those in opposition, Mr. Chairperson.
Okay. I'm going to read out the names, and, you don't have to speak. So, please indicate if you're going to speak or not speak.
Can we offer people with small children the opportunity to go first? Is that possible?
What?
If they wish to speak? I'm just concerned that we're running late and there's little kids still trying
to... I can't tell.
Okay.
But so when they indicate, we can maybe put them in a different pile. If you have young children, and you want to speak, when we call your name, if you can say, I have children, then we'll put you in a different pile so that we'll hear you first.
Okay. Yeah. Sheila Williams, Glenn Williams. You want to speak? Don Joel and Marla Joel. Can you speak?
No.
Tim Joel and Suki Joel.
I will. I'd like to wait a little bit.
Okay.
Jonas Kelly and Christine Schaffer. No. Bruce Weimer.
No.
No. Krista Hebert and Timothy Hebert. No. Samuel Nanicki and Sarah.
You'll speak.
You speak.
Speak.
Gertie and Asher Begleiter.
So you don't want to speak? Okay.
Rick Pauls. Do you want to speak?
No.
No. Laura Lee Barkman. Pauls.
No.
No. Stuart McRae.
No. No.
Stacy Colley. Yes.
No.
No. Brad Elke.
No.
No, thank you. Plate one. Michelle Cooper and Warren Cooper.
He wants to speak.
Cheryl Conley Strange?
No.
No? Cheryl Francisco and Daph Francisco?
So, yes.
Jim Banger? Connie and Keith and Delaney Sigerson? Tammy and Darcy Stupich? Peter Helma Mandana?
Peter? No.
Robert Blair? Lois Brookie?
We'll put her up here.
What's she want?
She has a small baby.
Okay. Chris Fernando?
No.
Leah Robinson and Dallas Weeb?
No.
No? Sanjay Jain and Vindra Jain? Yaker Friedman and Laura Freeman.
Okay.
You're speaking.
This part.
You're not mine.
Mm-hmm. I can't read this. What is the name?
Let me see. I can't read the first name, but Gangandin Singh at 196 Falcon Ridge.
Yes.
Can you spell your first name, please? Okay, thank you.
And you want to speak?
Anyone?
Yes, I do.
Thank you very much.
D&L Fairley?
No.
Robin Lai? Or Lou, I guess it is. Robin Lou? No. Teresa Duna? Gilbert Lounge? No? Jill Palmno? You want to speak?
Small children.
Wabi and Banarama Karam?
You'd like to speak?
Danielle Lambert? No? John Laven? We just know him, eh? Robert Tyler? He wants to speak.
Yes.
He? Eleanor Duick? Valerie Hill?
We'll put him up.
Dave Nielsen? Barb Young and Chad Young? Yeah, they're going to speak. Subhas Shander?
No.
No. Andrew Shander? And Loti Shander? No. Jennifer Fernando? No, thanks. Ruth Croker? Wendy Auld and Keith Auld? Joanne and Jack Newman? I didn't hear them.
Joanne and Jack Newman? No.
Not here.
Okay.
Rochelle Serez? Bandman?
No.
Ralph and Angie Dick?
Yes.
Jake and Nancy Gertson?
No.
No. Roken Cathcart?
Roger.
Oh, I guess it's Roger Cathcart. Troy Dolnick? Troy Dolnick? Cliff and Olga Barth? Trevor Brookie and Lois Brookie?
The wife's already speaking, so don't know to you.
Kevin and
Kevin
and Jan Zerari. Sarah Nowicki.
They've left.
Okay. Nigel Cheetah-Tow. Lucia Betancourt. Betty and Risa Sanji. Peter
Malik? Malik?
Malik? Gurdana Slobodjan Suvajak? Kamala Lambert? Oh, that's good. Floyd Laven? Manny and Gordon McKay. Steve Stiltosen. No, thank you. Sandra Magnus and Dean Dylan.
Put in the yes file.
Okay. Vin Nugent. 23 Powder Ridge.
Said yes.
Yes. Vietnamese. Larry Bach and Brenda Bach. Derek Anthony and Stella Anthony. Glenn Friesen. John Matros.
Maderos.
Maderos.
Yes.
Yes. Andrew Cameron. Rupert Hanwell.
I'm sorry? Yes.
Renee Denbrook Jr. Eric Chichung Nig. No thanks. Andy Chung. No? Renee Zaglewski.
Yes.
Dave Mintenko.
Say yes.
Denise and Bob Forbes. Okay. Yeah. Jeff Lye and Kenny Law. Yes? No.
Okay, so we're going to start with these three people.
Yeah.
So if the three people who indicated with children who want to speak, if you want to make your way down, please. Thank you.
Jill Pano, Yacker Friedman, and Laura Friedman, and Lois Brookie. Jill, come up.
Here or?
No. So, Jill, you can speak first.
Okay. Yeah. My name is Lois Brookie, and
Lois.
I live at...
Lois. Okay, sorry, we had the wrong thing. Thank you.
I live at 107 Powder Ridge, which is the house directly across from the fence where the proposed development is. I have a few concerns and some questions to the councillors with reference to this development. Number one, the traffic as an issue that was raised by the developers. My understanding is that there was a traffic counter placed in our area to determine what the levels of traffic were. My question would be, was this traffic counter put up by the developer, or was it put up by the city? So that's a question that I'd like to propose. With
they can answer questions now if a person has a question.
Can you ask that again?
Pardon me?
Yeah, the administration can answer that question if they have the answer right now.
We don't have an answer.
No answer? Okay.
My indication was that it was
the developer that did the traffic study. It wasn't it wasn't the city.
That wasn't the question. What about the counter?
Who did the counting?
Yeah, but they don't have an answer to that.
Yeah, just to clarify, applicant did a traffic study, but we're not sure at this point who actually put a counter there, so maybe the...
Oh, I see. Okay. So the developer did the traffic study? But who actually put the little traffic counter down? Maybe in us, maybe in them.
Okay.
But the actual study was done by the developer.
Okay.
That's it.
Go on.
A couple of other issues as it relates to traffic. With the proposed... my understanding is that there's 59 possible units going up, which would equal at minimum 59 individuals. At minimum, could be considerably more, which then leads me to wonder if the developer thinks that there would not be increased traffic with the minimum of 59 new residents to the area. How many of those individuals have cars, and how can that possibly be determined that there would not necessarily be an increased amount of traffic to the area with at minimum 59 individuals residing in that area? Furthermore, with the increase of individuals in the area with cars or traffic, my concern would be for the children playing in the area. I have a son that just turned one, and we're not done, our family. So my goal would be that my son would be able to play in that area with the increase of traffic, as what I would see would happen is the safety of our young children. That leads me to another point, and this as it relates to my family personally, the equity that we have currently in our home. We're a young family. We saved up a lot to be able to build a home in Linden Ridge, and we saved up this money to reside in this area because we thought it was a safe area. We thought it was a quiet area. We thought it was an area suitable and targeted towards families, a safe and quiet street, and that's specifically why we chose this area. We spent more than we thought we could afford, but based on that fact that we really wanted a quiet and safe area with this proposed development, I really have to wonder just how quiet it's going to be and how safe it's going to be with the increased amount of traffic and people in the area. I would also ask that if this could lower the value of our homes, and if that's the case, could it lower the value of our homes up to, let's say, 15 or 20% on a let's say, a $600,000 home? That's $50,000 out of my pocket. So I would ask the developers, is that something that they would be personally willing to have leave their pocket? Because that's essentially what you're asking of us.
Was that
the applause? If we could just hold, I know that this is a hard issue for everybody, but we just like to hold on the applause. Just if you could please just hold on your applause.
Please, you really shouldn't be making noise from the gallery. Those are the rules. So we now understand the rules. Thank you.
I guess what I'm asking of you is that for my local government, that I would ask for your protection of our families specifically, and protection of the equity that we hold in our homes. I think I speak for all of us when I say that each and every one of us are hardworking citizens, as I respectfully say that you are as well. But we have saved long and hard to live in an area where we believe it is quiet, where we believe it is safe. And I would ask for your protection of not only the equity, but first and foremost of our families. The street that I currently live on has no sidewalks. So when I walk out with my one-year-old in our stroller, I am looking both ways a number of times to ensure that there is no traffic coming along. My understanding of the proposed development, there is a fence along that side of Powder Ridge where I believe there will be an opening, which then leads me to wonder if there is commercial development in that area on the other side of the fence, there will be an opening where people, let's say if there's not enough room for parking on that particular side, I wonder if people will then come around Powder Ridge and park on the street, which then tells me there's more traffic, which then says to me more traffic equals increased risk, and that affects my family. So I just ask that the members of our local government just be sensitive to that as we are here to protect our families, and then I ask that you would protect us as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, come back.
Excuse me.
Come back.
Excuse me, there's questions.
Councilor Article has a question.
Thank you very much. I make my questions very quick for time. You mentioned regarding safety, regarding traffic. You mentioned two things, the amount of traffic potentially, and also the lack of sidewalks because the neighborhood was built initially. Are there any other issues that you're aware of regarding traffic that you haven't explained yet?
Actually, there is, and thank you for asking that. I just remembered. With Costco being in our area, I'm just kind of giving a for instance. With Costco being in our area, as it is a very busy store, anyone in our area or in the area from this new development wanting to go to Costco would have to get out of our area, they have to turn right onto McGilvery. And then do a U-turn at McGilvery and Waverly, I believe it is, and then would have to head down McGilvery to enter Costco. What would happen, as I would see it, or as that I would anticipate, is that with this increased or with this new development, people would either go that route, or if Falcon Ridge was opened up right to Waverly, they would now go through onto Falcon Ridge and go through the area to get to Costco to avoid that U-turn at that busy intersection. So again, you're having this increased traffic in a seemingly quiet residential area.
That's right. Thank you.
That's good.
That's it? Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Yaker Friedman.
Hi, my name is Jill Pownell, and I reside at 79 Tangle Ridge Crescent. There's really not a whole lot more that I can add. She hit on all my key points. The major concern is my children and the safety. Right now, we've moved into this neighborhood to be in a quiet neighborhood. We moved onto the street we did because there's no through traffic. So there's a huge concern for the increase in traffic along Falcon Ridge where there is no sidewalk. And there are no fewer than 45 children under the age of 10 on my street alone, and it's growing. We have young families on our street. Nobody, we want to be able to have them play safely. They ride their bikes around. I can't chase after them around the block fast enough, so I can't keep my eye on them 100% of the time. And that last point that I'm glad Councillor Orlico brought up, or brought out, about the traffic is going to defer to Falconridge to go shopping. All the major shopping is out that way. People are not going to be going out to McGillivray Boulevard and turning around and doing a U-turn. They're going to be going down that way. And I'm not sure about this traffic analysis that the developer did and when it was done, if it takes all that into consideration, because the approach out into McGillivray, I don't believe, will be the first and primary in and out of that little development. I believe they're going to use these. Whoops. Secondary route that they call refer to as Falconridge. That will be the major one that's going to be used, and with no sidewalk, I find that unacceptable. I don't really have anything else to add. I know that there's a lot of people that want to speak, and I'm standing behind them 100%. Glenn Williams got a folder there, so I'll let everybody else mention everything else that I stand behind.
Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yacker Freeman?
My name is Yakir Carey Friedman. I reside at 3 Powder Ridge Drive. I'll leave kind of all the rest of the concerns aside. My major, major concern is 3 years ago, my wife and I decided to move from St. Boniface, a very, very, very tight community, to expand into a newer community that was just on the verge of developing. I understand that communities need to develop. However, I've noticed a trend in our city that is indicative of overdevelopment in the types of development that we live in. And to me, that is a huge concern, as you heard my lovely daughter, that increases traffic, it increases the potential for crime. It could, not only that, as was mentioned by my stout neighbors before me, that we do not have sidewalks in our area. And to me, that it poses a threat to my wife or myself if we're out walking my daughter in the stroller. On top of that, my wife and I reside in a corner lot. This affects us dearly because we reside on Powder Ridge and Falconridge, meaning that with increased traffic flow, that increases the traffic on the south side of our house, which means that I will then, once my daughter is of age, restrict her from playing on that side of my house and make that yard essentially useless to us and just be some sort of showpiece, because I will not want her to be at the hands of someone else's who's behind the wheel of a car and decides to do very exuberant things. So, which I have seen in many other neighborhoods which have overexpanded, definitely in our city. So that's kind of the piece all I have to say. I'm sure all my other neighbors and friends have many more concerns, and there's quite a few of you that wish to speak, so that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. You know, we have all these people that have said that they would like to speak, but you know, they may hear their arguments with people before them and may not want to speak still. Eh? So, like, if you don't want to speak, if I call your name and you come down to the front, if you don't want to speak, just say you've changed your mind. You know, it'd be nice to get this meeting over with, but yeah, at the same time, I think we want everyone heard who wants to speak. But you know, it's pointless to go ahead and have people repeating and repeating the arguments of people that have gone before them. Thank you.
If I could just add.
You want to add something? Sure.
I'm from the same residence. So if I could just add to that is that the developer has indicated that they would like to have a community, they would like to build on the community and make something that is an asset to the current residents. Obviously, there are so many of us here tonight that are in opposition to this. I agree that they have made some changes, but the way they're moving forward, there are enough of us in opposition that it is not something that's appearing that's going to be favorable to the community. It is not something the community is looking forward to. I think they should look at a completely different proposal.
Okay, thank you.
For those reasons.
Now I'll call three or four to come down. Denise and Bob Forbes. Dave Mintinko. Rennie Zaleski. And Robert Hanwell. If you all could come down here and... Yeah, so the first one is Denise and Bob Forbes. But if the other people could come down too, it would speed the meeting along.
Good evening. My name is Robert Forbes. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address the particular issue. Obviously, it's quite a controversial one. Probably the first and foremost point I would like to make, and I don't know that you people can really understand this, is that there's been very little openness on the part of the developers in MMM Group with respect to sharing information and providing details to the residents of Linden Ridge. Okay, as recently as April 6th, I attended a meeting, okay, and there were no specifics or details made available to us at that time. Subsequently, in checking with Mr. Robinson, okay, who I found out was sitting with the details, which meant they had obviously provided them ahead of time to him, okay, that he could only make them available late on Friday, which gave us very little time to even assess what was really being talked about. This is a very, very critical issue to the residents of our community. A lot of young families. You've heard the people who have spoken before me. I sent a 5-page email to Mr. Orlico on Friday, okay? I don't know whether the other people here have received copies of it.
Yes, everything.
Okay, and all the points duly noted, okay? If such is the case, I won't go through the entire 5-page email, okay? I'll spare you that, okay? But there are many, many details that I think are distortive in the planner's position, okay? I believe they're trying to talk about a density of the development, okay, that's based on a 3.6-acre redevelopment, okay, where a considerable portion of it is zoned commercially, about 1.5 acres, I believe, so that if you start checking your densities after removing the 1.5 acres and knowing there's 59 dwellings, I think you'll find they're considerably higher than what they were trying to tell me when I was there last Tuesday, okay? Very, very concerning thing because in your traffic studies, what are you allowing for traffic for the commercial aspects of this development, okay? I'd be really curious to know who came up with that number, okay? This is a wonderful little community. The developer was provided the opportunity previously to enjoin with the developer of Linden Ridge and complete the development in a way that would have taken into consideration the interests of the people who were already there. The initial developer had high constraints in terms of what could take place in the particular development. It's led to a very nice development, okay, very quiet, good place to live. Okay, what's being proposed here is very, very questionable, and I say that because they have not shared information. We are finding out things at a very late date, and I would have really appreciated if they would have had more of an open attitude in terms of sharing information with the people in our community. We have some really intelligent people in this community, okay? And they're the type of people that aren't going to say, here's a problem, get rid of it. They're the type of people that want to form part of the solution of the problem. But to be able to do it, they have to be given information. They have to be talked to, okay? One of the most frustrating processes I've had is the particular one we're talking about here. They discuss how they were advising the residents of what was going to take place, okay? I found out about what was being talked about here on, I believe it was January 16th, 3 days after their first meeting, okay? And they had stipulated that they were were sending out notices only to people that they felt would be affected. Well, for those of you that may not know it, my wife and I are resident at 86 Powder Ridge, okay? Right on the fence, okay, of the property. I found it most interesting they made sure that we got the details, okay? And I'm also the type of person, I care about this community. It's a very nice community, and believe me, I'm someone who could bend your ear for an hour and a half on the subject we're talking about here. I'll spare you tonight, because the most important thing to me is the residents of this community are standing up and stating their issues, okay? What we want, if there's a problem here, very respectfully, we'll be happy to put together a committee and work with the city, okay, and the developer to try and come up with something that's workable, okay? We don't want something slipped through the back door that we've had no say in, okay, especially after the developer was given the opportunity to be involved with this from the outset, okay, and declined, okay? There's many, many other issues you're going to hear tonight, okay, and I won't bend your ear any further, okay? I'll let the rest of the residents of the community say their piece. Thank you.
Thank you. Question, sir.
Sorry,
sir. Come back.
Sir, my...
Okay,
my
Bob.
Bad. Just want to clarify. You just, your address is 86 Powder Ridge Drive?
That's correct.
Okay, so just so you know, in my notes, which means just my notes, nothing more, not, it's indicated that you did receive a letter.
Well, I can assure you I did not, sir.
That's fair enough.
Okay.
Thank you.
Because they can say a lot of things. Okay.
You
should have been with me at the meeting on April the 6th, okay, after the information package that I received from Mr. Robinson, okay, very late last Friday, and that I knew he had ahead of time to go to that particular meeting and know full well they had all these details when I was sitting there asking questions simply to try and find out information so we can form some kind of a logical opinion, and they would not share them, period, comma, and question mark. Okay? Thank you.
Are you Dave?
I am not Dave.
No, you're Renee?
I am not Renee.
Are you Rupert?
Robert.
Robert.
Robert Hanwell? Please
yes.
state your name.
Robert Hanwell is my name. I'm a resident.
Just a second. Renee Sigalski and David Mantenko, can you come down?
Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. My name is Robert Hanwell. I'm a resident of Linden Ridge. I live at 34 Powder Ridge. I'm going to take a different tack tonight. I'm going to ask questions because I think you've heard a lot of concerns. I think you're going to hear a lot more concerns. Councilor Rilke, you've seen my letter. I see you've responded to it. Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. We are a concerned group of neighbors and citizens, and we do have a vested interest in what happens here tonight. So I think it's important that we all understand what's about to take place and what those motives are and why it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think the issue really, as I see it, is one where an applicant has made an effort to change something from what I believe is zoned agricultural to RMU. Is that in fact correct? Yes, the planner is saying yes. Is the developer here tonight? Is the developer here tonight?
The applicants did speak first. So they...
Okay. I saw representatives from the architect firm and Inlet Properties.
They're allowed to do that.
They're allowed to do that. So the developer is not here. Is that correct?
Inlet is the developer.
Okay. Inlet is the development company. Thank you. All right. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to talk a little bit about Plan Winnipeg. Because what I think we need to do is understand, does Plan Winnipeg and this proposal have an alignment moment that meets the need of the city, planning committee, and the neighbors of the community of Linden Ridge? So I won't bore you with the details, but I will read a few things that I found rather interesting in Plan Winnipeg, specifically with respect to guiding land use in Section 3B, page 32. Subsection 2 of 3B reads, preparing secondary plans for future neighborhoods in consultation with residents and business interests to ensure the coordination of local and regional services and the community of land uses and other objectives. What is the current rating of properties within Wyndham Ridge itself. What is the zoned rating of those properties today?
Single family residential.
Thank you. What is RMU by definition?
Do you want me to answer?
Yes.
Okay. It's residential mixed use. So the objective is primarily residential with ancillary commercial.
Excellent. Let's go ahead to page 33 of the plan, 3B05, promote commercial densification. Subsection 1, encouraging the development, infill, and expansion of existing commercial areas as the preferred method of accommodating new commercial development. This is currently agricultural, next to residential. Within walking distance, we have Walmart, Home Depot. I mean, I can list them all, folks. You know where they are. They're in your zone, right? You know what this area is. Retail, commercial, whatever you want to call it, is not part of our current community. And I'm here to tell you we don't want it. We do not want this aspect of this proposal. One of the things that I find rather interesting is I understand the developers need to do something for profit. That's Winnipeg. I mean, we're all in business here to do something for a goal. Nobody faults anyone for wanting that goal. What I do see happening, though, and it does speak back to the safety element, is the changes that we're about to consider with this proposal really reshapes our neighborhood. It doesn't just bring new people to the community, it really changes the way the community works. People have spoken about safety. If you look at Linden Woods, it is at least four times the size and density of Linden Ridge, at the very least four times. It is served by a total of 6 points of access. Lakewood, by a total of 7 points of access. Island Lakes, 4,500 people, I believe, live in Island Lakes. 3 points of access, 2 out and 1 to adjoining community. Royalwood, 2 points of access and 1 joining into Island Lakes. We currently have 4 points of access into our neighborhood. This is going to provide a 5th point of access into Linden Ridge, which is going to make it a throughway. It is going to become a throughway neighborhood. I'd very much like to see the statistics that the Inlet Properties prepared for the traffic measures. I think I saw a total of 2 vehicles going west in peak hours in the morning. 59 residents, and 2 are going this way per hour. Guys, you need to do your own work. You cannot take this at the developer's face value. As residents of the community, as taxpaying citizens, we need you to look at what is being proposed and do your own assessment, because, quite frankly, I'm not comfortable letting someone tell you what they think that impact is going to be. Okay? We need you. We need you to do this for us. Section 4B3, promote safety on streets and sidewalks. Implementing traffic control measures to minimize traffic accidents and maximize pedestrian safety. I'm not going to say any more. I mean, you've heard people talk. You're going to hear more people talk about it. We believe that bisecting the neighborhood and allowing three-way traffic to go from Dovercourt to McGilvery through what is going to be the highest density populated area is a recipe for disaster. You're begging for trouble. I'm telling you. I wouldn't want to be making the decision that says somebody got hurt because this happened. I'm not going to take any more of your time. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you.
So I don't get in trouble later on by some of my colleagues. When you mentioned that you thanked me for my reply back to you,
yeah.
Just to clarify, that reply back to you was only on process. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Dave? Dave?
I was going to be fault on this, but I just recently moved back about a year and a half ago from Saskatchewan into Winnipeg, and the changes I've seen in that area. I'd grown up in Winnipeg all my life, and I guess probably the term I can use for that area and that whole area is oversaturation. It just reached a point, and particularly not just with what the developers are planning, but looking at the other end with the IKEA and everything moving in there, it's oversaturated. We don't need anything else. More is not necessarily better. And I do fear for, I don't have young kids anymore, but in the area I live in, there's a ton of kids. It's a terrific area, and I'd like to keep it that way. Thanks.
Okay, no question. Thank you. Brittany?
My name is Rennie Zagalski. I'm a resident at 129 Laurel Ridge Drive. My house backs onto Linden Ridge Park, right on the play structure, to give some context. Before I begin, I'll provide a little bit of a story. I'm a very passionate Linden Ridge resident. 2 years ago, I put together a group of residents that wanted to see some improvements to Linden Ridge Park. And we formed a committee and decided that we wanted to expand Linden Ridge Park to provide a play structure for all ages of kids, because the current structure that's there is predominantly geared to children 5 years of age and under. So 2 years ago we got together and we said the way we want to do this is we want to be reasonable. We want the residents to contribute, and we'd like the city of Winnipeg to contribute. So the whole goal was a 50-50 plan where the residents would raise 50% of the cost, and the city of Winnipeg, we would apply for a land dedication reserve funding for 50%. Within about 2 months, we raised $30,000 of private money within the community from the people sitting here. It was a very easy ask. This community is very involved. They want to contribute. They want to help. And the checks came in. I want to thank the City Center Community Committee. 2 years ago, we put in an LDR grant. We received $27,000. And Councillor Smith, Councillor Jabazi were part of that, and the late Councillor Lifesec were part of that, and they made that decision. As a result, last summer, we put in another application, and Councillor Orlico supported it, where we put in a bench honoring Councillor Brenda Lifesec for all her work for Linden Ridge Park. And I think just on behalf of the community, I want to thank the committee for their support. And it's a successful project. And now all the children in our community can use that park. And to this day, it'll be a legacy to build on. So I wanted to start with those words and thank you. On behalf of Linden Ridge. There's been a lot said already. I'm going to compress my comments. I've already received some comments from some residents who couldn't be here today. My concern, I think, is with Mr. Robinson's report. I think there are some holes in it that should be of some concern to the community. This is all a density issue. We're going to be arguing density. Yeah. What's allowed, what's reasonable to the community, what's similar to the surrounding areas. I think what Mr. Russell's proposing is a very aggressive proposal for the surrounding uses. And I want to turn your attention to page 16 of the report, second paragraph, the first sentence. Doesn't quite make much sense to me. It says the proposed commercial square footage is small, plus or minus 20,000 square feet. By comparison, one big box store, Kennison McGilvery, can be over 100,000 square feet. Example, Canadian Tire, Walmart, Home Depot, or Costco. The planner has this in his report. I'm not sure what that implies. The new IKEA, which councils will be familiar with, and MMM Group will be familiar with, is 355,000 square feet. I'm not sure how relevant that is to a 3.6-acre development on McGilvery. frankly, I think it's irrelevant, and that line should be deleted, in my opinion. If you turn towards the parking, what's proposed now is about a 3.7 per 1,000 square feet of office leasing, or of office space, which is now being proposed. I can tell you for a fact, with the advent of Manitoba Hydro moving downtown, and Stantec moving, there's upwards of 400,000 square feet available in the area. Mr. Russell will be familiar with this. I think it'd be very hard to do a development in an office nature right now in this community with all the abundant space that's out there. I know there are members of the community that believe that this could lead to more of a retail development, and that's probably where there's more potential for leasing. I know there's controls in place that they have to apply to abide by the zoning, but I think once you open the Pandora's box, it's much easier to progress that way. So the facts state that it's an office proposal, and that's what we have to deal with. But the parking that's proposed there at 3.7 per 1,000, in my opinion, is very limited. There is concern with that crosswalk between the commercial and the residential street, that there will be a tenant, whether it be government-related, MTS-related, they're going to park on the side streets. And as much as we like to see development less parking lots, the fact of the matter is that people who drive to McGilvery are not going to be using the bus. They're going to be driving. So there's that concern, and I believe the planner didn't adequately address the fact that that there's a lack of planning. An individual earlier before said, and he rightly pointed out, the development's 3.6 acres. They did an analysis showing 59 units over 3.6 acres, and you said one unit per 22,657 square feet of land. I'd like the planner to address where the 1 acre of commercial was forgotten, because I think it's simple that you have to take that away and you have to go on a 2.6 acre residential proposal for 59 units. That would bring it down to 42 units or 16 an acre. And I'd like that maybe to be addressed by MMM Group, because it doesn't seem to make much sense. Yeah, you can address this. I've got a number of questions. So that has to do, again, with the density issue. Moving on to streets, I was an original owner of a lot in 2004, and the original plan envisioned that Linden Ridge would run through this land. I think many of us bought our homes on that assumption. And it was apparent at the time, I think a change in this use would be against the spirit of the original planning, and is probably a reason we have 100-plus people out. There's been some criticism by developers in the past on the bait and switch. They put a high school on the plan, and then it turns out that it's not a high school. I think this is sort of a similar case, and I think the councillors have an opportunity to reflect the will of the citizens to have something that's in a less dense nature than what's being proposed. We talked about the McGilvery situation. I think it's unreasonable for what's being proposed that the planned access does not allow for the deceleration and acceleration lanes onto an 80-kilometer-per-hour street. I go every morning from Linden Ridge onto McGilvery, and thank God it's not slippery, but I have to step on it to reach 80 from the turning lane, and I think the city has to examine that again, because I don't think there's adequate controls in place to control that traffic onto McGilvery. The other issue of McGilvery and the sidewalk access, Councillor Orlico has brought it up before. There are a number of members of our community that are actually academics in city planning, and they've looked at street access. Right now, if you want to access Costco from our community with the stroller, which there are a lot of strollers in our community, you have to zigzag across streets to get there. If members of the community will know, right now there's no there's no crosswalk north on Spurfield. You have to cross the street, go back, cross the street again at no light controlled intersection to get an ice cream at Dairy Queen. There are a lot of serious usability and pedestrian traffic issues in our community. This has nothing to do with the applicant. I apologize for that, but I see where the question's going to come. And in this community is very passionate about it. It's not the fact that it's not a NIMBY. It's not a not in my backyard scenario. I think everyone's agreed that this site should be developed in one way or another, but it's a density issue. And what's being proposed, frankly, is just much too dense for what the community is prepared to live with. And accessibility, as the young moms have said, is very, very important. Traffic is very, very important. I'm going to leave it at that. I thank you for your time, and I think others have covered many of the other issues.
Thank you. John Medeiros, can you come down? Vin Nugent. What's that?
Finn? You're Finn? Yep. He doesn't want to speak now.
No, that's what I thought. Sandra Magnus?
Yep. She's coming down.
Okay. But how about John Medeiros?
He's coming down.
He's coming down?
Yep.
Okay. Floyd Lavin?
He's coming down.
He's coming down? Gordana and Slobodan Suvjak? Okay. John Medeiros? Proceed.
Hello, my name is John Medeiros. I'm a resident of 110 Powder Ridge, and that's right on the northeast corner of the proposed development by Inlet. To me, my concern is what my neighbors have addressed, and I'm pretty sure some other concerns will be forthcoming. To me, this is a density issue. If you look at this plan that they have, that means I'm going to have a two-story leading up to a three-story dwelling coming right down on me. So has a shadow, study been done here? I'm going to lose sunlight and whatnot. Behind me, the two-story condos or townhouse project, I have no issue with that, for the reason being is I do believe that this piece of land has to be developed in a good, positive way, complementing the Lyman Ridge specs as to what we've all built upon. I also have a concern for the people on Tangle Ridge, which they too will have this development, this building, bearing down on their backyards, and they're on a south exposure. So all these things, including the traffic, which evolves, has been conducted and expressed with this, we do have these issues. To me, it's just development is imminent. However, a high density is, I don't agree with that. There's better developments that they've done around the Dovercourt, Linden Ridge area, where the townhouse is leading into bungalow condos and stuff like that. Those were tastefully done, and they complement the area. Where this is going, this is, as far as I'm concerned, is total greed by Inlet to get as much as we can. And I believe that's all I have to say, and thank you very much, councillors, for listening. Thank you.
Okay. Sandra Magnus and Dean Dillon.
Yes, hi. I'm Sandra Magnus, and I live at 103 Powder Ridge. My front of my house looks onto the east side of Powder Ridge, and we are facing the infamous hole in the fence. Just a couple of things. I guess, first of all, I wanted to also ask if the owner was present, because I think that we would like to have faced that person. And I understand he's not here. I would also like to ask the city if the city knows anything about the traffic flow in the area, if you've done any studies yourself. And I also wanted to know about the signs. The signs, were they properly posted? I know there's one on McGilvery. We can't get to it. There's a ditch there full of water. We can't even go there. I think at least there should have been a sign posted on Falcon Ridge for everyone to read. And other than that, all of my issues have been addressed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Lloyd Lavin.
Good evening. I'm Floyd Lowen. I live at 18 Phantom Ridge Road in Linden Ridge. We moved there 4 years ago after looking at other developing residential areas in the city. We found it to be close, quiet, comfortable. What's already been addressed this evening about strollers, sidewalks, and such. I have a daughter with a disability. She runs a wheelchair. What we see is an accessibility issue here in the fact that anytime you open up a street, you are going to increase the traffic. That's a given. We've got the numbers from the developer. We've got the concerns of the citizens. My biggest concern is accessibility, and that I moved into this neighborhood after searching other neighborhoods for a quiet, easy neighborhood to live in and move about. When we first moved into the neighborhood, walkways weren't there, sidewalks weren't even on the major thoroughfares. We have waited patiently for development. We're getting development. I'd rather have green development for us to enjoy our neighborhood, quaint as it is, and not go commercial. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Gerdanen, Stavogin, Subjak.
Yes. Good evening. My name is Slobodan Subjak. I live at 122 Powder Ridge Drive. For those of you that don't know where that is, I back onto this property. This property is my backyard. I know we've talked about accessibility issues, and you know we talk about buses and busing and city sidewalks. I just want to state a few points. I also want the councillors to ask me any questions because since I live there, I know. I'm not the developer. I haven't done a study. I spent five years living there. I'd like the councillors to be well aware that this property is not served by any city sidewalk or city bus route. If they put in 59 units structured for people in my demographic that have a family, there's no way for the people of this area to walk on to McGilvery and to walk to a city bus route. They have to walk through Linden Ridge, about 13 minutes to Dover Court to catch a city bus. Okay? The city bike path that was put in when they redeveloped McGilvery is on the north side of the street. It is not on the south side. So you cannot walk down there. I'd also like to make the councillors aware that I have two children that go to school in the area. After grade 5, for all of you that have children, you are not to be bused to the school. They have to walk. So I'd like the councillors and the people here to be aware of some of the issues that we're having in the division. The elementary school is Linden Meadow School, which is 2.4 kilometers from this property. Okay? It currently has 463 students, with a maximum occupancy, according to the school division, of 575 students. The vacancy is 112 students, but in actuality, it's actually 5 to 6 students per grade level. Okay. With that being said, this school already has 2 portable classrooms attached to it, and no future classrooms anticipated. I'd also like to state, so everybody's well aware, that this city council has already approved and they've already built 202 units at the Greystone development, which is a multifamily unit. Also, that Stonecrest development has 158 apartments and 20 condo units. Nobody at Pembina Trail School Division can tell me how many students are coming from those developments. Now we're going to add another 59. I'm not opposed to development, but at such a high density, I'm wondering where these students are going to go to school. Okay. Thirdly, if they're high school students, our catchment is Shaftesbury High School. Those kids have to take the bus to Shaftesbury, which means they have to walk the 13 minutes to Dover Court to catch a bus that takes them to Grant and Cambridge, over by Panampool, I believe it is, where they switch buses to catch the Grant bus to go to Shaftesbury. Okay? The Shaftesbury School is 7.81 kilometers from this development. It has 622 students. They have a maximum occupancy of 740, which is 118 vacant. So basically, they're the same. They have five or six empty spots per class. Attached to this school is already three huts, or three portable classrooms. The teachers like to call them huts. Van Wellingham School, which is the elementary school in Linden Woods, that is the French immersion school, has 568 students, which is 4.31 kilometers from this development, and it already has 10 portable classrooms attached to it. As far as I am aware, and the city planner can correct me, there is no talk about adding to any of these schools, nor is there talk about adding a high school, which is what we really dearly need in the development, or in the area, to serve White Ridge, Linden Ridge, and Linden Woods. Okay. I'd like to make it clear that after grade five, which I touched on earlier, the children have to walk down Falcon Ridge, which is approximately about four city blocks or so, to Linden Ridge Drive before they're on a city sidewalk. They do have to walk to Dover Court to get to a controlled intersection to cross the street. Okay? So if this development goes through, I don't know how many kids are going to be cutting through the development or from the development trying to cross McGilvery, which is an 80-kilometer-an-hour zone. This is not very well planned out. I don't know what the city's plan is for infrastructure for this to support 59 more units. Changing topics, my house, because it backs onto this property, we also back onto the MTS yard. Okay? Nobody has talked about the noise at the MTS yard. The MTS yard is my backyard plus 150 feet, which is what this property is. So I am 200 feet from my house, you know, or so to the MTS yard. In the MTS yard, they unload at night, in the middle of the night. Not every night, but, you know, the trucks do come. They load, they unload. Snow clearing happens in the middle of the night. If you put 59 units, condo units, which I believe the developer said 20 feet from the fence line, I'm 200 feet from the fence line. And I'm sorry, but you know what? When that truck throws up, that semi turns around, and they start that forklift, I know it in my house. So can you imagine 20 feet away? So basically, the city council better get ready for 59 phone calls to say, you know what? I got awoken at 2 a.m. because the truck showed up. It happens. You know, I don't know if that buffer, they're talking about buffers with more trees. I moved into this area 5 years ago. I planted a 6-foot tree. That tree's about 6 foot one now, and it's 5 years later. So unless the developer is going to plant full-size trees to hide and try to make a buffer zone, it's going to take 20 years for this tree to grow. I've seen nice pictures from the developer. You know, he's got this tree, you know, nice big tree by this building. You know what? No. Let's talk reality. Let's talk right now. Also, the developer is talking about a park, a little green space. You know what? We've all seen the plan. We've all seen the green space in the one tree. I've got kids. If my kids couldn't throw that ball through that green space and right into somebody's window, it's not much of a green space. They're just using that as a ploy to say it's actually a green space. And another issue, I'm a plumber by trade. I'm worried about land drainage issues. McGilvery does not have a closed land drainage system. It's an open ditch. I haven't seen a land drainage plan from the developer to say where he's going to shed this water. I know that when we built, that the city came by, and anybody who had their sump pump hose even remotely near the street, they were getting written up, myself included. I was told I have to drain my groundwater onto my property. It cannot drain onto a city street. The other question I have is when we moved in, we paid a fee for streets and sewers and all the rest that was tacked onto us. Has the developer paid the same fee, or is he going to pay the same fee? Okay, I just want to make sure, because he's tying on to what we've already paid for as a community. So I want to make sure that the same rules apply to him. The other issue that I had architecturally for this development, it doesn't match the rest of the neighborhood. I was told when I built, I had to have stone. I had to have stucco. I had to be 1,800 square feet. None of these are in the developer's plan, as far as I can see. They might have some component of it, but it doesn't marry well to the neighborhood. I think that's about it, if you have any questions.
Okay. No, thank you. Lucia Baden-Cart, can you come down?
She doesn't want to speak. She's decided not to speak.
Oh, no, not to speak. Kevin and Jan Serrari? Oh, good. Well, I had 18 people here, eh, right? So... Troy Dolnick.
Please come down. Please come down. He's coming down.
Okay. Robert Cathcart.
Is Roger, I need to see how this thing turns out. I still want to speak at 10.
Put him at the end of the file.
Ralph and Aggie Dick.
Please come down.
Barb Young and Chad Young. And Valerie Hill. Okay.
A 2 minute break.
After these few, can we take a bathroom break? Because I need one.
Well, okay. But I'd like to get through this meeting.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Troy Dolnick.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Troy Dolnyuk. I live at 78 Powder Ridge. I just want to start off by saying I'm one of the people who agrees that development should happen. The dead trees that are there and garbage and such is not good, but it is quiet and it doesn't generate traffic. I also agree that the density is, I'm not going to go into it again. It's been said 100 times. It's too high. The concern that my wife and I share is that because we are within plain sight of the development, like many people here. We're concerned that the appearance is not, again, in step with what the rest of the housing is, to go from single development right into two is fine. Three, and I wasn't at the last meeting, but my wife said that there are some sections of four-story condos. Seems a little drastic, a shift versus what's there today, so close. The developers have stated that they would like to keep the fence open for the pathway, and they want to do that as a conscious decision on purpose, and I just wanted to say that as a conscious decision, we want it closed for, again, the reasons that were mentioned about the traffic flow. Whenever there's a house party on our street, you know it because there's cars everywhere, and this is in a low density, so adding in 59 units when there's a house party, their area will fill up, they'll walk through to Powder Ridge, and again, it just seems to be a parking problem. That's about all that I had to say that hasn't already been said. I'm sure everyone wants to go home, so I'll conclude here. Are there any questions?
No.
Thank you very much.
Ralph and Angie Dick.
Good evening, Council. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Ralph Dyke. I live at 80 Tangle Ridge Crescent. I love kids. I'm concerned about their safety. I love everything that the kids around us do in our neighborhood. And I would like to speak for the kids that will someday live there. Can anybody tell me why there is a request for a conditional use for a carrier depot in that area?
The answer to that?
Sure, yeah, the report actually says that that would be prohibited.
It would be prohibited?
Prohibited, yeah, we want to make sure that that doesn't happen.
So it's been deleted, it's not a request to have it in.
It's the opposite.
It is no longer there.
It's a request in the report to say that if the property, the zoning does change on the property, that a post office carrier depot is a use that would be prohibited.
All right. Just in case it surfaces, allow me these few comments. Canada Post is looking for a location in South Winnipeg to amalgamate a number of postal depots. They are also buying trucks for all of their employees. Their employees will no longer be delivering mail with their own cars, so they will come to work, park their cars at 6 a.m. in the morning, then deliver mail in the truck, which will then which will be for half a day. They will return, and they will go again for another half a day. And so the trucks will be coming and going, and given the small amount of space for children to play, Johnny isn't going to go around that little park too many times to figure out that he can drive around commercial trucks. And I would ask you to consider this in planning all of this commercial space in that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Barb Young and Chad Young.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Robert Tyler. I'm legal counsel for Barb Young, and I have a green slip there, and it mentioned on there that I'd be speaking on her behalf.
We've got it.
And I'm also speaking on behalf of Wadi and Barbara Karm. Wadi Karm is with me as well here.
Okay.
And I'd like to speak on their behalf and then just give them a few moments to recap. But if I could approach the clerk, or if I could ask the clerk to distribute to the members of the committee just a very brief sketch and a photograph. Ms. Young's property and Mr. and Mrs. Karm's property is located immediately south of this development, and of all the people that you will hear speak this evening, this proposed development affects them the most. In front of you is a sketch showing the site plan from the plan of subdivision. Barbara Young's property is number 27, and Wadi and Barbara Karm's property is number 28. They're immediately south of the proposed development, which I've outlined with the squiggly red lines. And what's being proposed is a Berlin wall-type structure 25 feet behind her property line. And this Berlin wall structure will have at its peak a 50-foot high wall. And so the impact on her and on Mr. Karm is very significant. But let me begin by this. The public service report that has been prepared by Mr. Robinson must be prepared in the context of two planning documents. One is the City of Winnipeg zoning bylaw. The other is Plan Winnipeg 2020. And yet when you look at his report and his reference to our Winnipeg and the draft infill design guidelines that are being proposed by the architect and being supported by administration for multifamily development, draft guidelines, our Winnipeg, not approved yet by City Council, I propose that it's highly improper and misleading, and it does not reflect Council's legitimate legislation of policy to be considered in this application. The two documents that it must be reviewed under is the zoning bylaw and Plan 2020, and not some of what I would consider mere musings or thoughts of the planner or of the architect of what may come in the future. Your responsibility is to consider this within the current context. And Plan 2020 shows this proposed development as neighborhood property identical to Linden Ridge. Linden Ridge does not, to my knowledge, have any multifamily development in it. It's all single-family development. The current zoning of this property is Agriculture 1, and it permits single-family residential development on this property as we speak. That's the plan. That's the overall lay of what's to be developed in this area. And now we have a shoehorn attempt to create some high-density development in an area that was never intended to be developed for high-density property. And I think that that has to be considered very carefully by the committee tonight. It's a draft report. The guidelines that are being proposed for infill housing is draft, never been approved, and the infill development of the City of Winnipeg zoning bylaw, the overlay plan, falls outside of this area. On page 16 of his report, and Mr. Robinson is a very nice guy. I have to say he's one of the nicest people that you come across in dealing with the city. But he has a bit of a problem. And the problem is he's so nice that he can't say no to the developer. And I feel sorry for the developer. He's sitting up here. Doug Russell, he's the director and shareholder of the applicant and of the property owner. He has no friends here tonight, just the architect and his professional advisors and Mr. Robinson. And I don't see anybody else supporting this proposal. In Mr. Robinson's report, he says the proposed development is a thoughtful, creative solution for an irregular piece of land that buffers an industrial area. No, it's not. It's a thoughtful, creative solution to help the developer try to maximize his profits on this property, and it shouldn't be permitted.
Hey.
Thirdly, what's lacking in this report, and it's like the elephant in the room, you've got a street called Falcon Ridge Drive that the developer of Linden Woods was obligated to install, paid dearly for it by sacrificing a lot, paved the street into an area for what? Where is the concept plan for the development of this parcel of property? In somebody's mind, in somebody's file at the City of Winnipeg, when Linden Ridge was developed, where's the concept plan which would reflect that this little area should be single-family residential property? Nobody's mentioned it, and yet the street has been designed to accommodate some kind of development in that area, but nobody has brought forward what that is. I propose to you that it is a single-family development area. I could say more. Much has been said. What I'd like to do is ask Barb Young to come forward and just speak briefly about the impact of the Berlin Wall on her property.
Hi, I'm Barb Young. I haven't done this before, so I'm a little nervous. My situation is very unique and disturbing. You all got plans of where my house is. I'm most affected by the massive size of this building. 2.5 to 3.5 stories is a proposed site or proposed height of this building. Just to give you, I shouldn't say 2.5 stories, but 50 feet high, 110 feet long. So since we have for example, we have a nice little prop up here, as you can tell by these tiles, this is about 22 feet. I will have nearly 2.5 times this wall, I bet you 25 feet up to that. Everything I do in my yard becomes affected, whether I'm weeding, gardening, enjoying friends and family on a deck in front of a multitude of people in my backyard with balconies. I can't describe how devastating that is to me. I also have, for sure, I'm going to lose on my property. It's going to decrease that value. Would any of you want my property? I'm thinking probably not. I know backyards are for privacy, and everybody should have their own little privacy. There are no trees tall enough to cover that up, mature or not. There's just no trees that are going to cover as a buffer zone or anything you want to call it. When my son and I moved into this house, Falcon Street was, it led into the proposed development and was to be an extension of Linden Ridge. That's how that property was sold to me. Development for this proposed area is for single-family homes, and that's what it should be. There shouldn't be any compromises on that. We're also affected. I've already talked about the impact of value in my homes. Backyards being your own little corner of the world. Never in my wildest dreams did I imagine a building that would block any views. All of my sons. Perpetual evening shade. They're trying to take away everything that a home is to be and have. A feeling of home, the safety, the security. I request that you evaluate the proposed development and the effects it will have on me and my neighbors and reject this application. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
My name is Wadi Karam. Barbara and I, we live at 112 Tangle Ridge Crescent, directly beside Barb. We purchased this property 4 years ago. We had had it built, and to us, it was our dream home. We thought that this would be the perfect place to live, seeing that Linden Ridge was, the perfect home to be, place to be. However, this proposed development will prove otherwise if allowed to go through. Our reasons are that that 50-foot high wall, which I think, too, it's a Berlin Wall, and I would think the Berlin Wall would be a little nicer because, as far as I know, there is no windows. No one peering through those windows. It's just a wall. So maybe the Berlin Wall would be better. And this is going to devastate the value of our homes. We will have no privacy, no sense of safety, and I think that we should be privileged to have quiet enjoyment in our house and in our backyards. We recognize that development will take place. We have no objection to that. But we have not seen where the developer has given sufficient regard to the surrounding homes and to the subdivision of Linden Ridge. We would like to see a park set in there or low-rise bungalows, single-family homes. And in closing, I would just like to, I'm sorry the developer isn't here, but I would like to ask him if he were to wake up one morning to see a 50-foot high wall in his backyard, how much he would like it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, we certainly take some questions, but just to conclude,
we implore you, turn this application down. It doesn't make sense, and we ask you to turn it down.
Thank you. We're going to have a 5-minute break.